just wanted to pray for my lovely husband this morning. Lord, I just want to thank you for my lovely husband, and I just bless him this morning. I pray he gives your words and just give him your peace and your Holy Spirit, and just bless him as he gives your word this morning. Amen.
Amen. Ooh, more. Okay, good morning. So actually this is going to be a very interesting, difficult topic, but Holy Spirit's prompted me to do this. And do you know, I thought I was going to cram it all in this morning, but he's changed my direction again. And because it's such an important topic, and there's many people away as well, I'm going to spread this over 4 sessions. So, you know, everyone's going to have an opportunity to hear. There's different topics going through. Just wait for Duncan to come back. But we're going to be going over this topic for 4 sessions. So, when we were out the back, we took a group of special friends out the back, and we were doing some sessions, and we were working through a prayer. Anyone remember which prayer we were walking through? Duncan?
Was it our Father in Heaven?
Yeah, that's right.
Forgive us our debts.
Yes.
For those who debt against us.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, so that's good. We've been going through the Lord's Prayer. It's been quite a while. It was last year we did it, and then due to illness we kind of stopped for a while. But we got all the way to the one about forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. So Holy Spirit prompted me to do this here for everyone, because I think we all need this. And by all means, I'm no expert at this. I struggle with this myself. But the Holy Spirit's prompted me to... It's a funny thing. When you ask God to what you want to speak about, for me, he often gives me stuff that is very pertinent to me. So it's like I'm always preaching it myself. But anyway, that's a good thing. It's a double bonus. It's relevant. Yeah. So forgiveness is the cornerstone of following Jesus. The word forgive alone appears over 120 times in the Bible. Things happen to us in life to hurt us. People, situations, health, and unforgiveness in these areas causes bitterness and resentment. I was thinking of these as the unholy trinity: unforgiveness, bitterness, and resentment. Resentment is having an angry feeling about something. What's bitter? It's kind of a similar word. Anyone describe bitter?
That's when you're angry, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Yeah, you're kind of annoyed, aren't you? And
emotional.
Yeah, that's a good one, Duncan. Thank you. Sometimes we need a little reminder that the best gift we can give others and ourselves is forgiveness. We need to follow the example of Jesus and offer others forgiveness as he forgives our daily sins. He forgives us. We should forgive others. That's why it's in the Lord's Prayer. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. There's 2 parts in there. It's not just forgive us, it's as we forgive others. Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's pretty straightforward to me, and that's pretty powerful. And a message to us. Also, later in Matthew, if we do not forgive people, we get turned over to the torturers. Now, that's an interesting one in Matthew 18. We'll come on to that one a little bit later. So here was the 3 that I spoke about. Unforgiveness, bitterness, and resentment. And we need to learn to forgive just like Jesus does. Okay, now I've got some demonstration here. Here I've got 3 items we're going to go through. So the first one is here. And it says, there's a lady called Marianne Williamson. And she says, unforgiveness is a bottle of
poison here. Actually, it's more than a pot, but this is a pot of poison. This is the first one. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison yourself and waiting for the other person to die. That's kind of bonkers, isn't it? But the poison, you're having it, rather than the other person. That's quite powerful. Unforgiveness is like being on a painful hook, and Rachel's going to come and read this. Can you come out?
If you look at this hook, Rachel will show you the picture first. It's a nasty, this is a fisherman's hook. And look at that end bit there. Imagine being stuck on that. And show these guys over here.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Do you want to read out what we've got on there, please?
Okay, it says, being unforgiven is like being on a giant hook. Next to you on the hook is the person who has hurt you. The hook is extremely painful. Wherever you go, so does the hook, so does the offender. The only way you can get off the hook is if you allow the offender off first. The cost of not allowing the offender off the hook is perhaps a lifetime of unhappiness.
Could you read those last two bits again?
The cost of not allowing the offender off the hook is perhaps a lifetime of unhappiness.
Yeah, powerful.
And then for my last one here, I need a volunteer called Ruth. Sorry, not this time, Duncan. So, Rachel, would you like to come up with? Okay, ladies.
Oh, I'm scared, yes. I'm scared.
Handcuffs. Anyone ever seen a pair of handcuffs?
The police ones, aren't they?
What do they use them for, Duncan?
To restrain them so I don't escape.
You don't escape, so.
I'm off.
You're going to put the handcuffs on.
Oh,
that's a good point, Susan. Susan says he hopes he's got a key. Yeah, that's right. Now, unforgiveness keeps you locked to the other person. Because I don't know what it's like for you, but for me, if I'm not forgiving someone, they're in my mind, and I'm thinking bad things towards them. And actually, wherever I go, walk around, please. Wherever I go, that person is with me the whole time. Even though I don't want anything to do with this person, they're with me. Maybe not smiling all the time. But yeah. That's a powerful image, right? You're carrying that around with you. And that's not how we're designed to be. Jesus wants us to be free and not in bondage. And this is in bondage. So... I don't have a key. Sorry. Anyone want to say anything about that? Has anyone ever been felt like they've been locked to someone because they've been
locked
to the key task? Yeah.
Are you pleased? Are you away?
Ah.
The key or the
key?
Yeah.
I have to think about, you know, the policeman.
I think I can recount several times in my life being mentally locked into someone handcuffs.
Unforgiveness is a spiritual filthiness. So get washed in the water of God to forgive and stay clean. And this verse here, Matthew 6, unforgiveness can prevent our healing because it comes between us and God. Do you know, I've heard that several times. when people have been ministering and praying for people with healing, sometimes they have not seen a breakthrough because there's been something blocking from the person, blocking that healing coming. And it was an unforgiveness of a situation. And when they, not on all circumstances, but this particular one, when they forgave, the healing came. So just bear that in mind, that it can be a blocker. Unforgiveness hinders faith. We reap what we sow. If we're continually thinking bad thoughts about people, it's going to sow something. Sow mercy and you will reap mercy. Sow judgment and you will reap judgment. That's quite powerful. We've got a testimony now from a lady Rachel's going to come and read, or you can read with the microphone there. A very powerful lady called Connie Ten Boom. Anyone know Connie? Or never heard of Connie? Yeah. So, Rachel, over to you.
Is that on again? There's a second clip.
Right to the top.
Is that on?
Yep.
Is that on?
Hello? We can hear about you. There's not even need to go off.
It's right at the top.
Just speak loud.
Hello. It was in a church in Munich that I saw him, a balding, heavy-set man in a grey overcoat, a brown felt hat clutched between his hands. People were filing out of the basement room where I had just spoken, moving along the rows of wooden chairs to the door at the rear. It was 1947, and I had come from Holland to defeated Germany with the message that God forgives. It was the truth they needed to hear most. It was the truth they needed most to hear in that bitter, bombed-out land, and I gave them my favourite mental picture. Maybe because the sea is never far from a Hollander's mind, I like to think that that's where forgiven sins were thrown. When we confess our sins, I said, God casts them into the deepest ocean, gone forever. The solemn faces stared back at me, not quite daring to believe. There were never questions after a talk in Germany in 1947. People stood up in silence collected their wraps, in silence left the room. And that's where I saw him working his way forward against the others. One moment I saw the overcoat and a brown hat, the next a blue uniform and a visored cap with its skull and crossbones. It came back with a rush, the huge room with its harsh overhead lights, the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the centre of the floor, the shame of walking naked past this man. I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me, ribs sharp beneath the parchment skin. Betsy, how thin you were. Betsy and I had been arrested for concealing Jews in our home during the Nazi occupation of Holland. This man had been a guard at Ravensbrück concentration camp where we were sent. Now he was in front of me, hand thrust out. A fine message, Fräulein. How good it is to know that you, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea. And I, who had spoken so glibly of forgiveness, fumbled in my pocketbook rather than take that hand. He would not remember me, of course. How could he remember one prisoner among those thousands of women? But I remembered him and the leather crop swinging from his belt. I was face to face with one of my captors and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk, he was saying. I was a guard there. No, he did not remember me. But since that time, he went on. I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there. But I would like to hear it from your lips as well, Fräulein. Again, the hand came out. Will you forgive me? And I stood there, I whose sins had again and again to be forgiven and could not forgive. Betsy had died in that place. How could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out. But to me, it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I've ever had to do. For I had to do it, I knew that. The message that God gives has a prior condition. that we forgive those who have injured us. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, Jesus says, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. I knew it was not only a commandment of God, but as a daily experience. Since the end of the war, I had a home in Holland for victims of Nazi brutality. Those who were able to forgive their former enemies were able also to return to the outside world and rebuild their lives, no matter what the physical scars. Those who nursed their bitterness remained invalids. It was as simple and horrible as that. And I still stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will. And the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Help, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried, with all my heart. And for a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then.
Powerful story. Can you even imagine the depth of forgiveness for that? Again, this guard had killed her sister, and there was a lot of pain in there. But through God's love, she was able to forgive, and the healing flowed. Forgiveness is not minimizing someone's wrong. It's not overlooking someone's wrong. It's not ignoring that some wrong has happened to you. And it's not taking the blame if something happens between two of you. By forgiving someone, it doesn't mean, oh, I'll take the blame for that. And you know, it's not that. Forgiveness is not waiting for an apology. Jesus didn't wait for an apology when he was on the cross. He says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. The Pharisees and the ones who crucified him. Forgiveness is not a reconciliation. It takes two people to reconcile. It takes two people to repent. You can do your bit. You can forgive without experiencing reconciliation through forgiveness, though forgiveness many times leads to reconciliation if you go through that step first. It's not just an option, it's a command from Jesus, he said. You must forgive. Forgiveness doesn't change the past, but it does enlarge your future. It doesn't change the past, but it will enlarge your future. Who are we helping when we forgive? We are helping ourselves much more than the other person. Because we are the one who are drinking the poison, handcuffed to the person on a very painful hook. It seems so unfair that the other person receives forgiveness when I'm hurt. But I am happier and feel physically better when I'm not filled with this poison and these types of things that have caught me. We are releasing the situation to God. Then he can deal with the other person. It's not for us to deal with the other person. God's judgment, he will deal and speak to that other person directly. But from our side, we can say we choose to forgive. Let the big guy take care of the rest. The benefits of forgiveness. Forgiveness is a key to emotional freedom and health. You are more healthy if you are a forgiving person. If you are an unforgiving person, you'll be knotted up inside and there'll be manifestations of that out. Jesus demonstrated this and he taught us to forgive. We're followers of Jesus. We need to do what he says. And this theme of forgiveness is all throughout his life, and it's something we should definitely adopt. Your relationship with God will flow more freely in the Holy Spirit if you're a forgiving person. You're being more open and you're willing to remove blocks and just let God fill. I saw a picture of someone's heart and it was stuck solid with unforgiveness. But when that was taken out, it was more space for God to come in and fill. Let God be the judge. Releases us from having the obligation of being my offender's judge and jury. Mercy broke the heavy chain that bound me. And you know, when you are unforgiving, you're actually giving Satan an advantage over you. He loves it. When a situation happens when you can't forgive, he just jumps on it and he will be nurturing it and encouraging you. Nah, you don't want to forgive these guys. They're horrendous. Look at what they've done. And he's like there stoking the fire. We need to see him for who he is, who's the accuser, and flee and do the opposite and listen to what Jesus says and forgive. The devil needs a foothold before he can make it a stronghold. Joyce Meyer, that's a great saying. He needs a foothold before he makes it a stronghold. He needs a way in. Unforgiveness of a situation is a foothold where you're allowing him in. And then if you keep that going, it then becomes a stronghold in your life. And there's lots of people who carry unforgiveness for decades, even to the grave. But as believers, we know a better way. There's a saying here from Connie Ten Boom that Rachel just read. How do you forgive deep hurt? A good piece of advice I can give you is this. Immediately forgive the person who says or does something against you. Then the devil has no chance of letting a shadow remain in your heart. Devil has no chance of letting a shadow remain in your heart. A foothold is a secure position where the devil can get, where further progress can be made on top of it, where a stronghold is a habitual pattern that's built on that situation. So you know, you're building up, you've gone through this and it's real problem in you now. So the benefit is to resist Satan in this and to forgive. He doesn't like us to forgive, so why don't we forgive? And the last one here I wanted to bring was, you'll be open for healing. We spoke about that already. I think you'll be open to more blessing because you're being obedient to God. He's saying forgive, and Jesus says to forgive people. When we're obedient to him, the blessing increases. Who should we forgive? Now, this is an interesting one because I'm going to split this into other sections later. But there's several people that we need to forgive. We need to forgive others who've offended us, which is could be everyone. It needs to be big or small. It can be something someone has said, just a comment, and you're like, I don't like that. And then you take it and you twist it and you eat it and you know. Or it could be something serious. Someone could have really hurt you. We all have that in our past. And we all will have it in our future. But it's how we react to these situations. So forgive others. And that's the one we're going to focus on today. In our time a bit later. The other ones is, you need to forgive God. Do you ever have times where you need to forgive God? I do, because it could be something that's happened, or a prayer that hasn't been answered, or a situation you say, why? Why, God, am I in this situation? Why haven't you done anything? That can also lead to a bitterness and resentment. I've known people who have gone away from the faith because they're angry with God. And that's sad. It's really sad. And it's something that needs to go through a healing process. So forgive others. Forgive God. And the other big one as well, forgive yourself. Do you know, we can be forgiven by God, but not forgive ourselves. I know this very well. I've lived it for many years in the past. That's something we'll focus on in another session, in a deeper dive. It says in the Bible, in Micah 7 verse 19, God says he will throw the sins of his people into the depths of the sea. That's pretty far. Anyone been to the depths of the sea? I doubt it. But it's a long way, and it's a long way. Get rid of all bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, guard your heart. Stephen is often talking to us about the importance of the heart. And in this verse, it says, guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart. Everything you do flows from it. The spring of life. If you're bitter and twisted in your heart, that will manifest out in maybe the way that you speak, maybe the way you treat others. So receive forgiveness on a regular basis and let that flow out. I can guarantee you will be a calmer, more relaxed person, an easier person to show love to others. Because, you know, we're all not perfect. I don't think I've met a perfect person yet. We won't do on this planet. But we need to live above offence. If we get offended, we need to rise above it. That's very important. That's very, very important. That's the Proverbs 23. This is the Passion version. Have a look at this. So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. Okay, wrapping up, coming to a close of my talk. How to forgive? Decide first. Obey God. God's asked us to do it, so we should do it. Obey God, resist the devil. God will heal your wounded emotions for this. Depend on the Holy Spirit. It's too hard for us. This is difficult stuff. But Holy Spirit in us, on us and through us can help us with this. So we depend on him. God will enable you, but you must ask him for help. So we recognize it. We lean into God for this. And we obey. Pray that God will give the other person a revelation. Pray for that person. Bless them. Don't curse them. How often do we don't speak well about people? In a way, it's a curse, right? We need to be, as believers, blessing people. It's a reverse of what we do naturally, as a natural thing. Someone's hurt you, you may curse. Someone cuts me up on the road driving, I may curse something at them. But I need to watch that. Watch that in the smaller things, and then it'll help you with the bigger things. Be quick to forgive. And don't just leave it to a Sunday at communion. Do it through the week. As things agitate you or irritate you, release it. Don't let it build up. Yeah, that's really important on the curse, the blessings and the curse. Let go and let God heal. Okay, so God challenged me on this as well. And when I do my talks, I want to do three sections. I want to do the teaching, which we've just had. Then we're going to have a time of reflection. And then there's a time of activation, where we're going to do something about what we spoke about this morning. I'll invite you to do something about it.